Hello and welcome to Changing the Record, the podcast brought to you by the Talking About My Generation news team, who are setting the record straight on growing older in Greater Manchester.
Hello, my name is Paul Sherlock. I'm one of the MyGen reporters for Salford District. And welcome to our MyGen podcast. Today we'll be talking about transport across the whole of Greater Manchester, and we're going to share our honest opinions and advice with you. I'm joined by three other reporters today, so would you please introduce yourselves, guys?
Hello, my name's Erica Woods. I'm from Earlham in Salford.
Hi, my name's Doretta Maynard, and I'm from Old Trafford in Manchester, Greater Manchester.
Hi, I'm Jean Friend from Chadderton, and I'm one of the reporters.
I absolutely love the transport system in Greater Manchester, and I think it's wonderful for older people because we couldn't afford really to pay the full fare to get into Manchester, and a lot of people suffer from isolation and loneliness, so it performs a great social whatever the word is, you know, advantage or something. So I just love the fact that you know, for a bargain price we can also go on the metro and the trains. So I'm really finding my way around Manchester quite happily. It's a delightful option, and you can get like from one extreme of Manchester to the other extreme of Manchester, by which I mean edges. So I could go from here to Bury Market last week, which was fantastic, and it was a really enjoyable journey. But there are a couple of buts here. There's an app that you can use to find out when your next bus is coming along. And it's absolutely wonderful for that. If you're standing on the bus stop, you look it up and the app says your bus will be there in 3 minutes. And sure enough, it is, which is absolutely superb. But there's a slight flaw in that system. For example, my cousin was coming into Manchester, and I wanted to know whether her bus was on time and whether on what time to be at the bus stop, because the bus stop was not kind of outside my house. I had to make my way there, and the system is set that it can only talk to you if you're actually on a bus stop asking for when your next bus is due. So if I'm in my house trying to say what time is this number bus running to time, and what time will it be at this stop, no chance at all. It just can only tell you about the nearest bus stop to where you happen to be at that moment. So I thought they're considering one target audience, which is a person standing on a bus stop, when's my bus coming along? And there are wider target audiences that perhaps they could take into account, like people who are not actually on the bus stop but need some information about a bus.
There's been a lot of changes affecting transport in the last few years, notably lockdown from COVID. And many people just stopped using public transport, or in fact, using transport of any kind. And I, for one, ended up walking some considerable distances because I felt that was the best thing to do once we were allowed to do it. Added to this, there are changes in the way Greater Manchester is going to organise its transport. I remember a time when everything was, say the buses, for example, were all CELMEC, and everything was centrally controlled. The railways were all British Rail. And back in, I don't want to be political, but let's just say, around about the time Mrs. Thatcher was in power, there was a lot of devolution. Everything was being privatised. Everything was competitive. And the clock seems to have gone right round in a full circle. And we're starting to go back a bit, and people are beginning to feel that it's too fragmented. Things aren't really working, and people want to, some of the people in power want to make it not led by competition, by companies wanting to make profits and compete with each other, and that be the driver for improving services. They want to lead it more from the user's point of view. So the Greater Manchester Transport people are trying to take more, I won't say control, but more coordination of what's going on. Control is a bad word, but making sure that things throughout Greater Manchester are integrated, work together for the good of the people who use the transport. So there's all sorts of issues. There's encouraging people back into transport. There's getting people to want to use transport. And the drivers are not just political views on whether things should be centralised or decentralised or privatised or publicly owned. There are other drivers to do with carbon footprints, to do with conserving fuel. And all these things come together, not always openly, not always visibly, but I think there is a move now to reorganise things considerably. And just this last week or two, anybody who's been out and about might have noticed that yellow B buses are starting to appear on our roads. And that's a sign that rather than each of the bus companies doing their own thing, there will be an integrated bus service.
Direct, I'm going to come to you because you recently wrote an article and you were said that you really like transport around Greater Manchester. So are you echoing Erica with those thoughts?
I am. Yes, and I did travel around Manchester. It was an absolutely fabulous day and I couldn't believe where I'd gone to and what I'd done for the day on a £5 bus pass. And it was for the day. And I think it's great. I think I prefer the bus than the train. Although the train is quicker, you get to see more on the bus because it takes time and you can get off and nip on here and there and go wherever. The only worry that I have with the buses is that if you buy a bus pass for a certain bus, there's so many different buses, like Magic Bus and something else and First Bus, you can't use the same bus pass, which I think is unfair, really. I think that you should be able to use that bus pass for any bus, but it doesn't allow you to. But what I like about the buses is that you can go anywhere in Manchester from, like you say, from Old Trafford to Warrington. I can go into town. I can go to any of the art museums in Salford, Bury. You know, so it's just travelling around on the buses and you see so much that you get to know and appreciate Manchester, appreciate Greater Manchester. You know, and being able to travel out to Wigan and Warrington on the bus, you know, it's like a day out. So for me, it's lovely. And I've driven for a long time. So when I got on the bus, I was absolutely shocked at how relaxed I felt and how calm I felt when I got to my destination. You know, I wasn't caught in traffic. I didn't have to worry about the traffic and drivers. I sat down and I'm looking at people on the bus and I'm saying hello to them because it was like, hi. You know, hello, nice to see you. You know, just to sort of like be around people. And then they actually responded. I don't know if it'd be like that in London, but don't quote me. But it was so nice. It really was. And it was so relaxing. So I would welcome a bus journey. Definitely a wonderful experience for me.
Right. Well, I'm going with the morning one here. None of you have mentioned North Manchester. And personally, I feel very cut off from the rest of Manchester. When I worked in Manchester, I could get a bus every 10 minutes. All right, I'm going back a long time. I'm not going to tell you how long, but quite a long time. Now they're every hour. I have to go under a really horrible subway to get one. If I'm going to go to Longsight, I've obviously got to do the 1 hour journey. Sorry, wait for the bus that comes every hour, but I'm going to get the 192 and you can literally walk on the 192. If you stand at the 181 bus stop waiting for your bus to North Chadderton, you'll see, I think it's 163, every 5-10 minutes going to Bury. I have no idea why we are so cut off. I don't think everybody in North Chadderton has a car, but it's pretty pathetic. And it extends to Shaw and Rochdale, this. I love the bus pass, I'll say that. I like it to see it extended to 9 o'clock to get to hospital. I use the train a lot for holidays and I take my bike on the train, and I'd like to see a big improvement in that. And I'd like a bit more education of people that stick the luggage in the bike places. The tram's great, but again, it's a real slog from North Chadderton to the nearest tram stop. I mean, it's very convenient once you get there, but getting there is a faff. And my other big complaint is the lack of paper timetables for trains. They've got rid of them all. I have people in my life that don't have a phone and won't have a phone. So, you know, the convenience of getting your timetable up on a phone is not there for them. And I also have people in my life that are educationally challenged. That's probably counterintuitive, actually. They probably could use technology a bit better. But I think there is a good reason for having paper timetables.
I think the, on the bus stations and the bus stands, they've got the times of when the buses come. I think they could make that a little bit larger, because I must admit, I struggle having a look at that, and just making it a little bit clearer as well.
Erica, you were talking about the apps that you use, and I find it slightly confusing. There seem to be quite a few different apps. I find the simplest, but not necessarily the best way of planning a journey is just to use your Google Maps and say, I'm here, I want to go there, what are the options? And that's okay as long as the buses are on time. But there are some apps. For example, where I live, Diamond Bus are the main, provide most of the routes. And on the Diamond Bus app, you can just tell it which bus number you're interested in. And you can do that in your house, in the garden, anywhere you can get a signal. So that particular one answers your question. But then other companies, or some of the more global apps that are kicking around, I don't know whether they work or not as well. So I think this is probably part of the Greater Manchester getting things together thing. If Transport for Greater Manchester are taking control of all the buses, then perhaps they will integrate the apps, and hopefully all the apps will work wherever you are, and will be real time, not just when the bus should have been coming. Passes, again, Doretta, you were mentioning pass that was a £5 day pass. Now, there are lots of passes at the moment. Some of the companies do their own passes. In fact, occasionally, as you get on the bus and you hear people buying a pass, the driver will say, do you want a System One type pass for everything, or do you want our pass? And some don't. Some people buy the company's pass and then try to use another bus and sadly discover they can't use it. But there are passes that will cover you for the whole area. And there's been a pass, the name of which slipped my mind, it's been called the Wayfarer, which actually take you into Derbyshire and all sorts of places. So there seems to be a whole load of passes, and you need to find out which is suitable for you, as well as there being a whole load of apps. So there's clearly a need for a lot more planning, discovering what the people want. And if you go into, let's say, for example, Bolton Bus Station, you can see a big display board. Not only will it tell you when all the buses are going, it's electronic, it will tell you when the train's going. So you might not have to make the decision of which bus. You might think, oh, hey, there's a train in 10 minutes. I'll nip over to the station and get that. And there is talk, and I think this is maybe being piloted already, of putting such things up in public places like big hospitals. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I've been in the hospital. I know how to get there. I can plan how to get there to the nearest minute. But as you don't know when the clinic's going to finish, there's no way you can plan coming home. Now, our nearest hospital, some buses go on the road at the back of the hospital, some go on the road at the front of the hospital, some go up the road on the side of the hospital. So if you have a big display board telling you which bus is going when, at least you know which bus stop to go to. So I think that is something that is improving. Again, I'm rattling on. Somebody else, anybody else got any thoughts?
Yeah, as far as timetables are concerned, I'm talking really about railway timetables. They're no longer available on the stations. The bus timetables, I've been to quite a few hospitals in the last year, so every hospital has had the bus timetables there, which is great.
I was just wondering about has there been a change in bus passes? Because a couple of comments have been made about the bus passes being limited to Manchester, but you can go from, you know, well, you can't use your bus pass in Wales, but you can travel on any local bus right across the country with the pensioners' bus pass. So we should be okay on that, I guess, unless there's been a, you know, some sudden change under the government. And the other thing was, I meant to mention that Warrington is in a different area. It's not within Greater Manchester. It's on the kind of close, but not within Greater Manchester. So, for example, it meant that my poor cousin caught the bus to go back to Warrington and was thrown off at the edge of Manchester and had to wait until a Warrington bus turned up. So, I mean, you know, are they Mersey buses? I don't know what they are, but there's a different bus company adjacent to our part of Greater Manchester, and we need to have some cooperation between the two.
I understand where Paul's coming from, but I think that if you buy a pass that's a day pass, there shouldn't be any difference. I think a pass, it should be just one pass. They shouldn't say to you, well, you've got to buy a pass that includes all the buses or a pass for this. I mean, is it because it's different prices then? I think that £5 is the right amount of money to charge to go on any bus. Me personally, so if it means that if you want all the buses, it's going to cost you £10 for the day.
Certainly, the day passes. I mean, I had to make a decision when I was working because of my even when my pensioner pass came in, I had to get to work before 9 o'clock, obviously. And so you'd be having to make a decision: do I buy a weekly ticket off Stagecoach, or do I buy it off First Bus, or if I buy a day one? There is a lot of choice, and I think people like choice, but I think we've got to the stage where I agree with you. One thing that just does everything but isn't ridiculously expensive is what's needed. Now, I would tend to buy what we call a System 1 ticket if I needed to buy one, but I don't need to buy them now. And there's one thing that has improved. When I was going through a MyGem meeting in North Manchester, the north of the town, of the city, I say Longside, and I had to get there by 9 before you threw the time back a bit. It was about £5 or something, and I thought I'd have to make a decision then whether to buy a pass or whether to just pay the £5. The Greater Manchester have changed it. The maximum charge for a single journey is £2 now. So you might not even want to invest in the pass if you're doing, say, 2 journeys. Then you're going to get 2 journeys for £4. It's not worth paying £5 or £6 or £7 for a pass. So you need to know what the going rates are. But I certainly agree with you, Director. It's got a bit crazy when unless you're an expert on passes, you're guessing. You don't know. You know, the drivers are not necessarily giving you the best information.
I know that people can get, if they're not going to do 2 journeys, I mean more than 2 journeys, they can get the £2 ticket. But if somebody is allowed, can see that if they can get a £5 pass that will take them on any buses, I think that they will see more people getting buses, hopping on and off to do things and, you know, and getting out and doing more. But to just be able to just sort of like have a pass where it's just one bus, the ones that I said, I can't remember what they said called now, and you can't use all the buses, it's a bit like you're restricted. And even though you might just do 2 trips, you might be just going to the shops and coming back. If you had a £5 bus pass and could get at any bus and said, oh, well, I've got this pass, I might nip to here or I might nip to there. So it gets people out and it gets people venturing about in the city and doing more and getting people around places. You know, even older people, you know, it gets us going to different places. It gets us keeping active because, oh, well, I can jump on the bus. I don't have to just get 2 buses. And I'm talking about the people who are older who haven't quite yet got their free bus pass. it helps them to get out and about as well. I say, oh, I might go here, but I know I'm going to the doctors, but I can go to the doctors, but from the doctors, I'm going to go into town and I'm going to go here because I've got that pass.
Well, I might be mistaken, but I think at the same time that the fare dropped to £2, which is within the last 12 months, I think they actually reduced the cost of the pass. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I think that's the direction it's going in, to have a decent priced pass for the whole of Greater Manchester. I've not bought one because I've got the pensioner's pass, and thankfully my gen down all my meetings a little bit later, so I don't have to worry, and I've got the £2. So I've not had to buy a day ticket for this last year. But I think you'll find that they are now, I might be wrong, but I think that was part of the deal. They brought the £2 maximum fare and they repriced the passes, the global passes that will cover you for anywhere in the transport for Greater Manchester area.
I think it's a real shame that the bus pass isn't, you can't use it in Wales. Being so close, I mean, it's not that close, but a lot of us do go to Wales for holidays or short breaks. And it would cut that emissions, car emissions down considerably, I think, if we could use our bus passes in other countries like Scotland and Wales. And I say, I think we had this vision when it came out that we'd be able to go all around the country for nothing, but that didn't happen. We seem to be fixated at the moment on the buses, so I'm going to say something about bikes and trams. One of the things that was really disappointing, like there was a railway line went through Neway, so you could just get on your bus. Sorry, you've got me. I'm going back to buses again, aren't I? You could get on the train quite easily, go to Neway. And I'm sorry for people that don't understand the accent, that's Newhay. And then be out on the moors. You could be in Yorkshire within half an hour if you wanted to go to Yorkshire. I mean, I don't know why anybody would, but... And you can't do that now. So I know Andy Burnham's talking about letting bikes on trains by Christmas. I can't see how that's going to work because there's no room. But it would be great. There seems to be a move that you have a bike, you leave it at the tram stop or the train station, and you get on your train or tram, and then you have another bike at the other end. Well, nobody's going to risk that. And as far as riding your bike around Greater Manchester, I won't say it's a nightmare because I do it regularly, but I do get a bit fed up with the abuse, and I do get fed up with being told to use cycle lanes, which are not suitable. There's a lot of glass on them. There's a lot of rubbish on them. If you go up the one on the A663, I think it is, it's a shared path, and you stop in every few minutes to give way to roads coming out of it. I don't think cyclists actually designed these, and there's so many poor ones in Manchester. There's no encouragement to cycle, very little encouragement to cycle. And I'm afraid a lot of car drivers don't know their highway code. And before I start getting all the abuse, I appreciate that there's a lot of cyclists don't know their highway code. But if I hit you going at 9 miles an hour, that'd be lucky that I could go that fast. But if you hit me at 30 miles an hour, you're going to kill me or cause life-changing injuries. So I would really like to see a nationwide campaign for cycling. I don't actually mean British Cycling Charity, I mean government-led. I really enjoy cycling, and as I say, I use trains a lot, and there's a lot of improvement that could be made there. I mean, we've had some really good experiences recently. I actually hate putting the bike on the train. because of the reasons I've already said. But coming home from a break in South Derbyshire when it was actually snowing, East Midlands Railway were absolutely fantastic with us. We had tickets that wouldn't take us to where we had to go to get out of this snow. And they actually gave us a ticket that said that because of the bad weather, we're going to allow you on this train. And they gave us £2 back. So, you know, it can be a good experience. But there are some things that make it really uncomfortable.
Thank you, Jean. Anyone else want to chip in about cycling or trains whilst we're on the subject?
I agree with Jean that the cycling facilities here are dreadful compared. No wonder they had Brexit, because everyone was going to find out about the really excellent cycle tracks in Europe. And here, they're about as wide as the handlebars and right along the bit where all the grids and everything are. It's just too dangerous. It's sad, really.
Yeah, I agree, Erica. That's probably one of the I would like to cycle. I have a bike. Do I want to cycle around Manchester and surrounding areas? No. So I commend you, Jean, for cycling.
Yeah, me too.
I suggest you all come to sunny Salford. We seem to be really going well with our cycle line. Right near where I live, they've converted an old railway line, which was very muddy. I could walk from the East Lancashire Road, Swinton, to Monton. And get coated in mud and feel really horrible at the other end. Now they've done it up. We have a path, lovely surface. I think it's 3 to 3.5 metres wide all the way along. I walked it yesterday. I walk it regularly. I could take a bus, but it's the kind of place you like to walk. We've planted blooms along it. They encourage bicycles. I must say, Jean, I hope you've got a bell on your bicycle, because that's my one complaint, is the bike riders who sneak up behind me and anticipate which way I'm going to walk and scare me. But a lot of cyclists are very good. They either ring the bell or say, or give me a shout. But it's great. Cyclists, pedestrians, a lot of dog walkers, some disabled carriages, little children in buggies. Annoyingly, some motorbikes think they're allowed to go on there, and I just hope they get caught by the police and have their bikes pulverised, because they're, anyway, that's another story. But it's designed for pedestrian cyclists and the like. And it's excellent. And it encourages, many a time I think I would have got a bus to Monton and I thought, oh, it's not a bad day, I'll walk. And it gives me exercise, and it doesn't actually take the bus off the road, but I'm sure there are motorists who will leave their cars behind and use that. So there is a lot of thinking about cycling. I don't think Salford is alone in this. I think other areas are working on it, but if the rest of you have any experience of new greenways and walkways in their areas?
I think it's great that they've got the cycle lanes. I'm in Trafford, the side of Trafford that I'm in, Old Trafford. The cycle lanes are being used and are doing really well. The only issue I have about the cycling is that they think that the cycle lanes are just for people with two wheels. Now, for me, some older people cannot ride a bicycle, a two-wheeler. So where's the space for tricycles with the three-wheel bikes for people who want to ride those bikes? Because there's no shame in riding those bikes. And I do think that we should have more three-cycle bikes as well as the two-wheel cycles so that older people can get out and get exercise. One of the things I was going to ask about the cycle lanes is because sometimes I have seen people who are in motorized chairs using those lanes. Now, what do we say to them using that? Because they have got wheels, but what do we say to them? Get out of it, get on the pavement, or I don't know. So I'd like to know what we would do with that, because that's another form of transport as well. And it's like a cycle, it's like a bus because you're seated, you know, and you're steering it. And I don't know, what do we say about that?
Very tricky. And the other one that none of us have mentioned is these electric scooters that are cropping up, which really should not be there. They really just like sort of step down from a motorbike. I'm not sure. We have a loop line in our area before we had the Greenway. And one day I was walking along there, enjoying myself, and this guy was going like a maniac in a wheelchair, you know, disabled wheelchair thing. That guy's crazy. So, but normally you would expect them to behave, wouldn't you? I don't know about you, Jean, but do you get a chance to get out in the middle of nowhere on a proper decent path, or are all your bike lanes just along the side of busy roads where you're breathing all the fumes in?
Well, I was going to say, I've used the Salford Greenway. It's brilliant. However, we've got to get rid of carbon and nitrous emissions. I mean, I do believe we've got to get rid of them, not just cut them down. And I'm sorry to say we're encouraged, but we're told that a 3-mile journey is better on a bike. So for a lot of people that's commuting, perhaps a bit longer, like it would be 8 miles for me if I was working in Manchester. But the infrastructure's not there. I mean, I'm going to go on about North Manchester again. You've got to come down Oldham Road, no bike lane. Some quite angry drivers because I don't know why, but because you're on a bike, I think it is. We've got to do something to cut these emissions, and cycling would seem to me to be one of the ways to do it. The Ballyfield Loop from the Ashton Canal to Charlton is brilliant, but loads of people have had the bike snakes. They've been literally kicked off the bikes. So once again, people, you know, lone women are not going to ride that. I mean, we actually make a point of going on these places. But I won't go on my own. As far as commuting, the canals are great for getting from one place to another. But there again, you know, I've had views. And I do wear an helmet. I do have a bell. I do stop for pedestrians. We're not all the same. And it's really frustrating and upsetting for somebody that does try to do the right thing. So I just wish people had calmed down a bit, really.
I think the problem is, there, as in any walk of life, there's conflicting interests. Lots of people want to do their thing and are annoyed about other people wanting to do something a bit different. I'm sure the people on the motorcycles who want to go on the Greenway think they should be allowed to, unless they're just trying to be awkward. But cyclists, motorists, cyclists, pedestrians, there are always these clashes of interest. One wonderful thing I've seen on the tram, they now let dogs on. I'm great, I can take my dogs on the tram. But somebody else who's scared of dogs probably hates that idea.
I think we need a culture change, don't we? Because, excuse me, if you go to kind of obviously Holland or Denmark or Spain or Germany, the bicycle use is a much more accepted social thing. And if we look here at the number of cars that we've just got one person in, that could be somebody on a bicycle. But our culture has completely bypassed bicycles, and we really do need a profound cultural change, I think, to get bicycles more centralised in the transport.
Interesting. So many young people, you're a young person, Jodie, when you reach the age of about 16 to 18, you're going to have a car, if you can afford one. Some people socially couldn't, but it's like the normal thing to get a car. But surely when I was your sort of age, some young people had cars and some didn't. But I think of like my own grandchildren, I think of neighbours and people. I see it's just the normal thing in our culture for a young person who's able to afford it to get a car. Do they actually ask the question, do I need the car? I mean, I gave up my bit of driving back in 1976, and I have managed to get to work. I live in Swinton, and I worked in Davy Hume, and I managed to get there. It wasn't always easy. Sometimes the buses didn't turn up, all sorts of problems. But on balance, I'm glad I didn't use a car. I'm probably healthier than I might not be here now if I'd sat in the car all the time. Apart from getting into a crash or something, I'd probably have had a heart attack at the junction somewhere. But so I'm not a great I'm not going to set myself up as some great hero because I haven't driven a car. It was my circumstances and the way in life. But I just found that the car, which I thought was important, ceased to be important. But I see so many young people now, it seems to be, they must have a car. And I'd ask the question, why? Why aren't we thinking more about alternatives? Are the alternatives so bad? As Jean said, some of the abuse, some of the difficulties, maybe, as you say, Erica, maybe we need to change the whole thinking in this country so that not only do we think it's right to use bikes and feet and public transport, but it's actually easy, reasonably priced, and safe to do these things. And that is a culture change, as you say, Erica. Well, I agree entirely with you. I don't know how you bring it about, but you certainly we need it.
I think it's unfair that if you have a bus pass, that if you want to use the tram or the train, that you have to pay £10 extra to use it. I think your pass should include all of that travel. It's unfair. I've been reading about it, and it says if you've paid your national insurance and paid your tax, you're paid this, or you're not working, you're entitled to this pass. Yeah. So if you've worked or whatever you've done, you've been here, you've done, and you've got to a certain age, why do you then have to pay £10? If you go to London, you get your pass automatically. Even children get a free pass, and they can go on bus, tram, train, whatever it is, you know. And a normal person like myself, who's not quite reached the age for the pass yet, it'll cost me £12, and that pass is for the whole week, and that will take me on tram, bus, wherever I want to go in London. And whichever part of London, whether it's zone 1, 2, 3, or 4. But here we're charging an extra £10 for an elder's pass. I don't think that they should be paying that. £10. I know it's only £10 a year, it's nothing. But some people haven't got that. And with the cost of living crisis at the moment, to go and do that to somebody, and it's quicker for them to get on the tram or to go and visit family if they need to, you know, instead of sitting on the bus, it's unfair. So I think that's something that should be done about that.
The funny thing there, Doretta, is when I first got my pass, you didn't pay that £10. It only came in 2 or 3 years ago, I think, or maybe more, maybe a bit longer. But it was a new idea, a change, and I don't know. They seemed to get away with it. There wasn't a mass revolution. It wasn't like Paris, we didn't all sort of start threatening the government because we were being discriminated against. But, you know, maybe we're too compliant over here. I just pay my £10. Shut up about it, but it's a tenner's a tenner. I was happy when I didn't pay it.
It's less than £1 a month, really. That's, yeah. You know, I'm just thrilled with it.
Really. Yeah, but it was free before. You never had to pay for it. No. You know what I mean? So why change it now? Yeah, I think they're just making things harder for people. You know, and as we get older, as I can see, many people who are older sometimes struggle anyway. They have a lot of problems if they're not in a care home, if they're not at home on their own, you know. So they'd like to do a train journey and go to visit somewhere like to Cheshire or to London and just walk around and see the King's Palace or something, you know, just to get on the train and or a tram to go to Wigan or Liverpool or, you know, and see the Beatles place, you know, remembering all those old things that they could go to that they remember the way they were children. But at the moment, you've got to pay £10. They might not have it. They've got to pay electric, gas and water and everything else. You know, the only thing that they get free at the moment is TV because nothing's on television for them to watch anyway. They listen to radio. Well, my parents listen to the radio more. So, and they like to go out on the bus. They like getting out on the bus. She says she used to get on the tram, but now they can't get on the tram because they have to pay £10 and they haven't got that. You know, there's a lot of problems with pension credit, with pension and so forth, because not a lot of married couples didn't pay their full stamps. So their pension was penalised, which means that travelling for them and paying that extra £10 is a lot of money. It might not be more than a pound, but it's a lot of money for them to take out, especially if they're not getting the full stamps.
Perhaps we need to get rid of the bus pass and have a decent pension like the rest of Europe.
We need to bear in mind that over the years, over the last like 15 years or something, massive amounts of money have been taken away from local authorities. I mean, a huge percentage drop in the amount of money to provide the local services. And so for me, like, if I have to pay £10 to go on a tram for a year, I'll find that £10. But because the whole social care is in collapse, the NHS is in collapse, the roads aren't being done, and it's all because so much money has been taken away from local authorities and hogged up by central government.
Thank you for tuning in, and thank you to the National Lottery Community Fund for powering this podcast.
Thank you for listening to our latest edition of the Changing the Record podcast. For all previous episodes and for the latest news, views and nostalgia for Greater Manchester, check out our website talkingaboutmygeneration.co.uk.